This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning, darling man.
What
a
day.
I do.
Oh, I do too. What an emotional day yesterday.
Oh, my God, yes. There were no fake tears going on in my eyes yesterday.
No, there were some, not fake tears in mine though, because I don't know if you noticed in the morning, so I went to the trades, not the trades hall, the library announcement in the morning, and the pollen count was huge. Mm. I was already in tears before I even arrived.
So was I. It was really, really, I was taken by surprise by my reaction. I thought I was going to be okay because I had a bit of fatigue around the whole marriage thing. But as soon as it was announced, the anticipation, my God.
It was
and
huge.
I was emotional all day, and we were quite emotional in the evening as well, weren't we?
Yeah, I noticed a lot, and I was with some friends. I noticed everyone was sort of well composed, and then when it happened, everything just came out.
Yeah. What a historical day, though. We got to experience it. 8 million, yes. 4 million, no.
It's amazing.
So, you know, democracy counts this time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's great.
I was really scared that it would have been no, and I was thinking, oh, my goodness.
So was I. I was quite cynical about the whole thing. I thought, there's no way. This is going to be the Trump thing, the Brexit thing.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to actually be negative and be proven wrong for once.
Absolutely. And at the library, when they were doing the announcement, they had a live feed to ABC News 24.
Yeah.
And it kept cutting out.
Oh, so no.
So
everybody would have been freaking out.
You could hear the whole crowd going, oh. It was just every so often someone would start talking, they'd go bzz, bzz, bzz.
And
we were scared we wouldn't see it. But fortunately, it you know, managed to compose itself by the time the announcement was made.
But what an amazing day for us here at Joy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big day and a big broadcast yesterday. And we want to know how you celebrated it.
Yes.
And have there been any proposals as well?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm looking for a bride.
What have you been
A Russian
doing?
One, preferably. Hey, you know what? Qantas called the Australian Federal Police after it booted a high-flying company executive from a flight from refusing to switch off his phone.
Oh, really?
Last week. Can you believe it? Yeah, the plane was forced to head back to the gate and it offloaded the man. So an hour of delay for
because
everybody else.
Because he wouldn't turn
because
off
he was
phone.
Just like, listen, can you imagine? Do you know who I am? This is an important phone call.
And worth holding up that
worth
several hundred
up
people.
700 people and their tickets. I am a narcissist. How dare you?
I caught a flight.
How hilarious is that? Yeah. Imagine sitting next to someone like that.
I'd be so angry.
Oh.
It's a wonder the plane didn't completely revolt against him. I caught a flight to Sydney a few weeks ago and there was a row of three seats. I had one seat and there was an elderly lady. She had the other seat.
Yeah.
And she had her handbag.
Yeah.
And the flight attendant will come and go, excuse me, madam, could you please put that under the seat in front? So she sort of pretend to bend over and put it there.
But she wouldn't.
And she wouldn't. And then she'd pull it back and put it beside her and then they'd come back and they'd say, hey, excuse me, madam, can you please put your handbag down? So she did it again about three times. So she ended up almost delaying the plane. So she put it down under the seat and then as soon as it's taking off, she reaches down and she gets it out of again.
That's hysterical.
And then I could see the flight attendant glaring at her going, what are you doing?
Do you get really bored when they have got to do the instructions for you? You know, when they say put everything away and you've got to watch them do the instructions?
No, I watch them.
But I reckon everybody's watching with a glaze over their eyes going, oh my God, hurry up.
I think if I don't watch something, it'll happen.
It's so boring. But I connect with strangers all the time, Warren. But I have to say it's never happened on a plane with me. And I always feel frustrated that it hasn't because you're so intimate and you're so close sitting next to somebody for about an hour or whatever or 2 hours, depending. I've never, ever connected to the person next to me. It's really disappointing.
Really?
Yeah.
I connected with
I love meeting strangers.
I connected with a guy on a flight to London once. He kept tapping his
his
fingernails because he was so nervous the whole way.
Oh, no way.
On the tray table in front.
So you
the whole
probably
way.
Were his psychologist for eight hours?
I was going crazy. I was like, oh, my God, if he doesn't stop, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh. I'm not going to make it to London. There were lots of people with phones yesterday and they were obviously filming what was going on to keep it. And it got me thinking about how, momentous occasions in my life, things have been filmed. And, my parents had an old video camera that didn't have sound. And I've got a lot of stuff from when I was a kid, but there's no sound on it.
Aww.
And then, of course, as technology technology progresses, then they got the video camera and so on. And it just, and I was reading that you can now actually turn your kids or anyone into a hologram. So imagine if we could have done that yesterday when the announcement was
That would have been incredible.
Was made.
Yeah, and you're who standing, needs disco
lights? Yeah, you're standing with your partner or loved one or whoever, your friends, and it happens, and you could have recorded as a hologram because there's now a company in LA that lets you do it.
Wow.
That's right. They you can preserve people and stories by having them filmed. There's cameras absolutely everywhere around you.
Yeah. I'm envisioning, like, you know, all these GoPros around everywhere. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So they're a circle around you. They film you.
Yep.
And then you've got yourself preserved and you can project yourself as a hologram. So even though you're not physically there.
Yeah, but you're there.
It looks like you're actually there.
Can you
there.
Walk through it? And you can walk through.
You can walk through them.
See, that I'd love to do that.
Bzzz, if it makes a noise as well. And Microsoft is just...
And if you're angry with... people, you can start getting into them and you're not hurting anyone.
You won't hurt anyone. Microsoft
is therapy, actually.
It could be great therapy. Microsoft has just opened its first mixed reality capture studios in San Francisco also.
Mm.
And there might be plans to open more around the world. And it just, I don't know, it also reminded me of the, have you ever seen the TV series Black Mirror?
No, I haven't, but I've heard some great reviews on it.
And you could order a doll of someone, and
like Stacey,
like Stacey, and it learnt their mannerisms from their social media profile.
Oh my god!
So, and what their voice sounded like, and all this sort of thing. And you could get order a doll of someone.
Yeah.
And
well, shall I dump Stacey at home?
So
AAA operator.
Dump Stacey, but who are you going to get the doll made up to look like?
Yeah, that's a good one.
One of your exes.
Hey, there were so many beards out last night, though, weren't they, celebrating the yes vote?
The beards on their own.
Yeah, so many beards. You were in heaven.
Mine was attached to my face.
Yours was attached to your face, but you love men with beard, don't you? Beards,
I do.
Don't
I like
you?
Facial You're obsessed hair. With them. I think it looks good.
I've always been quite curious about them. I mean, you know, I get the obsession, but it's never been my obsession, right?
And, but it's also like there's sexy men without beards.
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
Yeah, absolutely. I just get a little bit concerned about the hair because they kind of look like something else, the beard.
What do you reckon?
Well, they feel like something else. Well, I'm going to say it, pubes, basically.
Really?
Yeah, so I called up one of my good mates from Huffington Post. His name's Dr. Booker.
Oh, Dr. Booker.
He's a scientist, yeah, and he's a very good friend of mine. And I wanted him to explain the whole thing because he's a scientist. Basically, he said your signature smell comes from your beard hair.
Really?
Then the hair from your scalp hair. Yeah, the base of the hair follicle is much bigger on your face, which is why it looks thicker on your face than your scalp hair. But it's considered the same type of process, slightly different growth rates, but same morphology otherwise. So basically, your beard is pube hair on your face.
That's what he's saying.
So it's got the same texture.
So he's saying when you smell someone...
Yes.
You're smelling, the smell's coming from their beard.
Exactly.
More than anywhere else. I don't believe that.
Well, he's a good friend of mine. I'll tell you what, he's got a lot of rewards. He's from Greenwich Village Dermatology.
You know what?
He knows what he's talking about.
At the gym this week, I've got to confess something.
Yeah.
I'm lying on the, the bench.
Yes.
And my head's back.
Yeah.
Right? And my personal trainer is standing there and he's lifting, you know, spotting me. So I'm doing bench press.
Yeah.
You can imagine it.
Yeah,
And he's standing there and his crotch is right there at the back of my head.
You'd have been wrapped.
I could smell something.
Oh, my God. I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what
smell.
It was, and I haven't smelt this before.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what it was.
I hope he's not listening. I imagine if he's listening.
I could smell something. And
talk us through the smell.
I had to take deep breaths because I was lifting heavy weights and I had to go...
Oh, no, you poor thing.
And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm breathing. And it was, I don't know what...
I would have asked for my money back. Imagine you had to hold your breath spotting.
I don't know what it was, but I almost, I don't know. It was not good. I was going to ask for the crackers.
Really, really hot days. One thing that I really hate doing, right, is getting on public transport.
Oh, me too.
Oh, my God. It does my head in, right?
Me too.
Because my thighs are rubbing. It's quite sweaty, especially on public transport. So there's been a heat threat to the network. Frustrated
Already?
Passengers reported, disruptions as long as 2 hours on Tuesday after a number of trams on multiple routes stopped working after 5 p.m. in temperatures of 34 degrees. How crazy is that?
It's only 34 degrees.
It's only 34 degrees. Do you catch the tram every day, don't you?
Yeah. I find hot weather, I don't know what it is, I sweat. and it comes always off
my... You sweat a lot, actually.
Off my forehead, and I stand on the tram and it just drips. Like, oh, here we go.
Is that because you have a high metabolism?
I think so. I don't know what it is.
Because I remember we went and saw a comedy act. Remember, we went and saw that Raj guy that we weren't very impressed with, right? But I remember you got off your seat and there was a pool of sweat there. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm really embarrassed. I don't know him.
It was so
thankfully
hot.
But imagine we were dining out. Like at an expensive restaurant and you've left a pool of sweat there. And if that happens on public transport, I'd report you.
But the seats are cloth, so they soak it all up.
Wear a bag underneath your bum or something like that that catches the sweat.
That'd make it even more sweaty though.
And that beard.
That'd make it even more sweaty. I do. Don't you? You sweat on public.
Well, look,
you get on,
don't...
it's packed, it's so hot, it's like going into a sauna.
I don't sweat enough. I only sweat when I do like really intensive exercise, like a spin, you know what I mean? That's the only time I really sweat. But I don't sweat like 34 degrees. Maybe in the downstairs area because it needs, you know.
I did a hot yoga course.
Oh, yeah, you did too.
On the weekend.
You would have been a nightmare to be around.
Oh, you know what? I was, well, the mats were out, but the guy next to me.
Oh, my God, puddles around
there. I had puddles on my mat to the point where I was slipping. Mm. So he's saying, balance on one leg or one knee, and I'm going, blop.
Oh, my God. But you know what the great thing is, though? You do sweat a lot, but you don't smell. Like, it's actually quite a pleasant smell.
Oh, thank you.
So for anyone that's actually interested in Warren, it's not as bad as I'm describing it. It does smell really lovely.
Well, at this yoga course, I was a bit worried because I thought, oh, am I the only one sweaty? And then there was a guy next to me. Mm. He was topless, and he had this really defined chiseled body.
Mm. And was his sweat
pouring? He was sweating like a pig as well, so I didn't feel so bad.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But public transport is certainly...
So would he have looked as good if he wasn't, didn't have a toned body with sweat all over it?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Of course he would. Got a disturbing result from a survey.
Oh.
I'm a bit disturbed by this. It's Attitude Magazine's masculinity survey has found that 71% of respondents were actively turned off by a partner with typically feminine attributes.
Oh, wow, that is disturbing.
It is. The survey of 5,000 men also found that 41% of respondents believe effeminate gay men give the gay community a bad image. And the survey, the intention of the survey is to confront attitudes towards masculinity within the gay community. Mm. So editor-in-chief Matt Cain said the survey reveals some troubling results.
Mm, absolutely.
And he wrote in Attitude, the survey seems to suggest that the insecurity we feel about our masculinity is dividing the gay community and turning us against each other.
Absolutely.
It does, doesn't it? And 41% of those who responded reported that being gay had made them feel less like a man at some point in their lives, which is worrying enough in itself.
Mm. Do you know what? As you say that, I'm thinking back to like maybe 20 years ago when I had pretty much come out. I actually think I was one of those people that actually went, why does he talk like that? That guy really pisses me off. Why is he putting on that voice? Da, da, da. Like I was one of those people that was actually quite judgmental of effeminate guys. Mm. And I've just realised I used to think that.
You know what?
I don't think that at all anymore.
No,
but
I did
at the time, actually.
But if I go right back...
Or really butch girls, I'd be like, well, what is she acting like a guy for? Because I had my own internal homophobia and I was trying to get my own my head around it.
Yeah. I actually think as a young adult, I might have had the same feeling. Like, oh, gee, I hope I don't sound like that.
Yeah.
But then I've realised, you know, that's only because I had internal shame.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's all about our own internal shame, and that's why we react so strongly towards it. Because I remember when I first came out, my girlfriend was incredibly feminine and we started going clubbing and I'm not kidding, I would cry, like we would leave and I'd be bawling my eyes out, and the reason I'd be so upset about it was because most of the girls that were out in the scene were quite androgynous. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but in my head was, oh my God, that's what I'm going to end up looking like. I'm a lesbian. That's how lesbians look like. That's how, and that was my own internal shame. I couldn't give a damn. Now, I'm so attracted to androgynous women. I'm attracted to anything that moves at the moment. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. So there you go.
And I think as you get more comfortable with yourself, excuse me.
Look at me, I'm a cheap date.
And you deal with
moves.
It. You do. I find men who are masculine and who have feminine attributes attractive.
Yeah.
It all depends on the authentic them and what they're actually like.
Absolutely.
But it's a really disturbing survey. Yeah. 71%. 71% of gay men are surveyed are turned off by a partner with typical feminine attitudes. It just shows the degree of the shame that we have.
Oh, absolutely. We did get a message in on 047 Joy 949 by Brett. He says, "I'm guilty as per the survey. I'm part of that 70%, but I don't think it's shame. I think it's simply to do with attraction. We are same sex attracted. Why would we be ashamed of our attraction to masculine guys rather than feminine guys? My man is so masculine, and I'm a little bit of both, and he adores that in me. Isn't it interesting how diverse we are? Ditch the shame, though."
Yeah. I'm not sold on that either.
Thanks for your email, though. No, we get what you're saying, that you know what you're attracted to, but I think that our culture is very, very shamed, and we've also been taught what to like, you know what I mean? Like through our gay culture, you know what I mean? It's almost like default.
And I don't know, maybe it's almost also like you feel like when you are coming out as though if you do fit into the norm of that sort of butch, masculine bloke, you'll be less obvious or... Yeah,
exactly,
you
know, right.
You're not so different.
And that's very shame-based.
You don't want to stand out from the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah. But it's a disappointing result, definitely.
Very much so.
Colin, were you surprised with the result yesterday, in particular New South Wales being a bit lower than Victoria?
Yes, it was a little surprising, but wow, what a great result all around. You know, you just couldn't believe it was such a resounding and I think a great unifying day for Australia generally.
How good was it? How emotional too.
Yeah, it was pretty emotional.
For everyone.
Oh, it was very emotional. And I suppose that for me it was a day of amazing reflection and fond memories of my late partner, Michael, who passed away just over 5 years ago. And, it was for you, Mike, and I'll always love you, mate.
Oh, that's beautiful, Colin.
Thank you, Colin. There's been a product recall, but not here. Mm. It's not here, so you don't have to worry.
Okay.
But it's in the UK. A supermarket chain has had to recall... Mm. Peanuts.
What do you mean?
Peanuts, like just a packet of peanuts.
What's happened?
Because you know why? They didn't print on the label, may contain traces of nuts.
You're kidding, right?
So they've had to recall it.
They've had to get rid of it.
They've had to recall the product, pull them off the shelves.
Oh, come on.
Because, and it's nuts. Like it's not.
Might be traces of nuts.
There might be traces of nuts in the nuts.
It's like taking a massive chicken out and saying there might be traces of chicken in it.
There might be traces of chicken in it.
Oh, my God, that's insane.
No, I mean, food allergies are horrible.
Do you have any food allergies?
I do to an artificial sweetener.
Artificial sweetener,
Yeah, one of the artificial sweeteners makes me break out in a complete rash.
Wow.
Yeah, and once I remember I was eating a whole, I found, because I don't have sugar, and I found some ice cream.
Yep.
And it was artificially sweetened, obviously.
Oh,
but it just said sugar-free and I thought, oh, I've been dying for this for so long. I ate the whole container in one hit.
Oh, no.
And I ended up in hospital.
How do you know when you've had an allergic reaction? Does your face go all red and you bloat? I know I bloat.
Your whole body goes all red and then, you know, in my case, you know, I started to swell around the tongue as well. It was quite scary, actually.
Why am I laughing?
But
that's so evil.
It wasn't nice, sort of.
Look, I'm getting off on the fact that your tongue was swelling and your throat was. I know.
It was horrible.
You don't want to be with me if you're having an allergic reaction.
I didn't.
I'm one of those terrible friends, though. Like, if someone falls over in front of me accidentally, I feel for them, but it's so funny that I can't stop laughing and it pisses people off. And I can understand why they'd be pissed off, but I laugh at myself when I fall. You know what I mean? Do you laugh at people when they fall or something bad like that happens? Oh, come on, mate. It's the funniest thing to watch.
Look, it was a bit embarrassing, though, sort of being in emergency, and they said, what happened? I had a whole tub of ice cream.
I do. We're going to be saying that all day.
We're going to find you a wife now.
A bride. I want her to rock up in her wedding dress already. You know what I mean?
Already. Yeah. Instant.
Already.
Just add water.
Exactly.
Well,
I want her young, though.
What do you want?
Probably about 20 years younger. Preferably her... English, doesn't know much English. Cooks really well.
Okay.
Taller than me and really hot.
So if you meet that criteria.
Yep. Please give us a SMS on 047 Joy 949.
Anastasia's waiting for you. Well, there's a new study that shows the most common ways.
We don't really need to get to know each other if. Anyway, go on.
The most common way people meet their partners.
Mm.
They looked at 14,000 people. Who were either engaged or recently married and found that a whopping 17% of those polled met their significant other on a dating site or app.
Wow. Well, that doesn't surprise me, does it?
Not at all. In 2015, the study was done, and back then it was 14%, so it's gone up by 3% in that time.
Wow.
But not far behind online dating was meeting a spouse through friends.
Yes. I think that's that. I'd love to meet my next partner through someone that already knows them.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do a bit of due diligence.
Exactly.
Check them out before you get them. But interestingly, 12% met them at work. I didn't realise that would be so high.
Yeah, it is high, because if you're working quite closely with people, especially in the hospitality industry, you meet people through work very easily there.
Have you ever had an affair with someone at work?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I've never had a long-lasting relationship through work. But, yeah, you do. It's hospitality. It wouldn't be like that in corporate world, I guess. Or maybe it would be. I don't know. Have you?
Yeah, there were people having affairs everywhere in corporate world.
Okay. Did you ever meet anyone that you really liked, or?
I don't know. I did.
You didn't sleep your way to the top?
No, I didn't sleep.
Like Alan McPherson?
Didn't sleep my way to the top. I mean, there are guys there that I found really attractive.
Yeah.
And sometimes I found it difficult to
work. So how did you become project manager? Tell me, you didn't do it just from your brains. I reckon you did something dodgy.
I did it all by merit.
You're quite flirtatious, I've noticed.
No, I'm not. I did it all by merit.
You'd do anything for a promotion.
This is about you finding... finding a wife.
And then you became my co-host. Yeah, look, if anyone wants to, meets the criteria, 20 years younger, so that would make you 23, preferably no English speaking, and you can cook.
Cook and clean, is that
yeah,
what you
cook,
said?
Clean.
Oh, my goodness. Stereotypes there.
Exactly. Huh? Greek girl, preferably. No, I don't want to know what you're talking about.
How did you find it yesterday?
Look, I was very emotional. I still am very emotional. I was inundated with texts and messages all day yesterday from friends and family. But I wasn't coping. There were moments where I was getting triggered about how I still felt like, oh my God, it had to come to this for to get a yes vote, like a democratic vote to actually feel normal. I felt like I was back at school. I felt like I was back at Greek church. I felt like I was hanging out with all the Greek people. So I was back. I was that little girl again, hiding and feeling not worthy. So
yeah,
brought
I
a lot
same.
Of that stuff up. And when I say family and friends texted, it wasn't my immediate family. So I didn't hear from my parents yesterday.
Didn't they text you?
And yet they don't know how to use a mobile phone. They always call. That would be hilarious if they tried. And it's weird. Maybe they felt uncomfortable about it, but they call me every other day. And admittedly, I haven't been having the best relationship with my family of late. But my mum does call quite a bit. Yeah, not a word from her yesterday, not from my father.
That's very sad.
I was sad and I was kind of like, oh, and then I was making excuses in my head about it, and I still kind of am, like maybe they don't feel comfortable about it. What are they going to say? They know that you haven't been feeling great of late. And I was all these excuses, and I thought, it doesn't matter. This is a massive day. They know their daughter has been struggling with it, and I haven't heard from them. So I still feel really crappy about that.
Yeah, maybe they were thinking they'll leave you to celebrate. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's
but,
very sad.
But leave me to celebrate. Make that call, even if it's uncomfortable.
Acknowledge it.
But there was nothing. So maybe they just kind of went, well, she was seeing a guy of late, so maybe she's straight again. Who knows?
Confused.
Probably really confused.
I had a similar experience in the morning. I was really anxious. Really anxious and walking, and I met a friend.
It's probably because you haven't slept.
No, but I was walking meeting a friend of mine, and we were going to the announcement at the state library. And I don't know, I felt like I was going to be judged.
Yeah.
And I
felt like that all day yesterday.
And like you, it did take me back to school. It was almost like I was going to be forced to play a game of cricket, and I knew I was hopeless at it.
Yeah.
And they would say, nah, he's crap. We don't want him on the team.
Yeah.
And I felt like the country was judging us.
Well, they were.
They were. and then when it happened and you know, we were watching the display, and the television, of course, was fizzling out at the library. But as I were about to announce it, and then I just felt this rush of emotion of, oh, my goodness, what if the country's judging us with a no? And how are we
absolutely. Well, everyone was looking at the screen with anticipation, weren't they? Like, oh, my
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. And then when it was announced, there was just this, like, people were screaming, people were crying.
Yeah.
There was a real mix of emotions.
Yeah, and there still is. There's after effects of that. I mean, yeah, we were all optimistic and we're really pleased with the result. But I'm still kind of sad. I'm triggered. I'm still feeling mixed emotions about it all, because it's brought up a lot of stuff for me, and I'm sure it's brought up a lot of stuff for many people.
Yeah, it's almost like they...
Even though it's a positive result, doesn't mean that it hasn't surged up a lot of stuff, you know what I mean?
But it's had some good effects too, because
it's had amazing effects, yeah.
I mean, I got a message from my mother.
Yeah.
And it was congratulations, such a great result. And it's one of, like, my, you know, my parents know I'm gay and they've accepted it. But it was the first sort of
recognition or
recognition
something
that, of something important and something. And I was quite touched. And when I got it, I just broke down.
Yeah, of course
I was
you
just
did.
This huge relief. Yeah. So I think it's almost forced us to have some conversations with our families, which is one of the good spin-offs of it. But yeah, it was a great day.
A great
but
day.
Certainly a lot of emotions, a lot of mixed emotions, and a great party. There at Trades Hall
yes,
as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is really good.
If anyone's had any similar experiences, please get in contact. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and we want to know if you've got any marriage proposals.
Any
as
marriage
well.
Proposals or no marriage, whatever. We just want to hear from you. We got one in from Matt. He says, no immediate family from me either. Feel really sad and disappointed.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah,
Matt.
It is sad. Yeah.
John from Fairfield had the opposite experience. My parents both called me and told me how proud they are today and they can't wait to organise the wedding.
Oh, how beautiful.
He was so emotional. Aww. How sad's that?
Yeah.
So some good stories. Some researchers have been cataloguing native grasses out in the outback.
Right.
And they've come across a discovery from the University of WA that tastes exactly like salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, my God, so the grass does.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, God,
right.
You can be like a human lawnmower. Imagine that is a part-time job. If it tastes like chips, I'm there.
That's right. He said,
pay more money than here.
We were doing late-night experiments, handling specimens of the species, he told the ABC, and someone licked their hand at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very good hygiene, is it, in
I know.
A laboratory? Lick your hand. Licked their hand at some point and tasted the flavour of salt and vinegar.
Oh, my God, yum. So I love salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar grass.
Oh, my God.
So you could just go. That was a healthy alternative, though, because at least you'd be getting just fibre rather than eating a packet of chips.
Oh, you'd be on the bowl all day, but at least you know, high on salt, but who cares if you're crapping it out?
You know something I noticed last night at the celebrations, Anastasia? And that is that people, I forgot people's names.
Yeah, you always forget people's names.
I do.
Though.
What is it? I don't know. Maybe my memory's failing me.
Yeah, I'm really good with memory, I have to say.
You are good, aren't you?
Yeah, that's probably one of the only things I'm good
and
at.
And I was relying on you. I was sort of nudging you going, can you just remind me what their name is, please?
Yeah, I'm really good with memory. I'm not sure why, but I am.
Well, you know, if like a computer, you can upgrade your memory.
Of course you can.
Yeah, and it works fast or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, improves.
Maybe you just need an update.
Improves. Well, I might be able to.
No way.
I'm not joking. I might be able to upgrade memory.
I just imagine putting a tube up your butt. Can you just stay here for about 20 minutes?
Might get a new chip. Because researchers from the University of Southern California have found that by using an implant, they can improve memory performance by up to 30%.
No way.
30% by getting an implant.
An implant. So where's the implant going?
In your brain. It mimics what the brain naturally does.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they understand.
So the implant's probably like the size of a little rice grain or something.
I don't know. It doesn't say what the size of it is. And it says that they don't understand what's being encoded.
Right.
But it just adds extra memory somehow.
That
and it gives
is
you
brilliant.
That 30% more. And it said,
maybe
said,
some extra storage as well.
Storage as well. Before the human trial started, the researchers described the process as accurately translating Spanish to French without speaking either language.
Oh, my God. So you can actually speak another language. Download another language. Be Spanish.
Put a chip in for another language.
You'll be like, oh, my God. This look what the future's coming to. I love the idea of this.
Yeah. So you can put a chip in and get a memory
be
upgrade.
French.
Be French. But it is terribly embarrassing, isn't it, when you do forget someone's name. And you can't remember.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's tricks of the trade there when you forget stuff.
There is tricks. I did a memory course once for
did
names.
You?
Yeah.
No
and,
way.
And you had to assign them an animal or a picture or or something.
So what am I, a skunk?
You're a skunk. And everyone with Anastasia is a skunk.
Yeah.
So I picture you with your little tail sticking out the back.
But you know what? I get really offended when people forget Anastasia because I'm thinking, how can you forget that name? Like, it's such a rare, beautiful name. It's a goddess name. How can you forget it?
They'll just think of a skunk.
Skunk.
What do you think of with me to remember my name?
Oh, look, it's very easy. I call you Wazza off air. Maybe I'll start calling you Wazza.
That's
but
easy.
But you look like a bit of a possum to me.
Possum. We'll get an implant.
That'll or an echidna.
That'll fix our memory up, skunk. You know how sometimes you see things on social media about cats?
Yes.
And they're evil.
Yeah. You know, well, they're not, but yeah.
They're not, but, you know, they're out to get you or what have you. Well, it might be happening.
Oh, really?
It might be happening because Japanese police are investigating the attempted murder of an elderly woman. who was discovered in her home earlier this month, and she had bleeding from around 20 scratches to her face. It's really quite scary. But, you know, she did survive, and according to Japan Today, the daughter arrived to find there was no forced entry. But they did. The cats caused it. Why are you laughing?
I shouldn't be laughing. I just was not expecting this to be such a tragic story.
As cats have done it. So the investigation, well, their cat scratches.
Funny. I'm not laughing at it. But I'm just shocked by the story.
They're cat scratches. Oh, it's been proven. And so the police have refocused their search on the stray cats that hang around the lady's home. And they've found what might be traces of blood on one of the cat's claws. The cats.
Oh my God! Is there cat jail?
I don't know if there's a cat.
There should be.
They're currently analysing the blood sample from the claw.
That would be my worst nightmare, being clawed by a cat. Because I'm scared of animals. Full stop. You know what I mean? Like, I get anxious when they want to play fight. I'm thinking they want to attack me.
I notice you do that with Fuzzy too. Yeah. Like when he barks at you because he wants to play. You
think he's going to eat my fingers off? You know what I mean? And then I relaxed into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so how's that?
Well, that's a really full-on
story. So it's a cat, and somehow they can't find out how the cat got in there.
Yeah.
But it attacked the poor lady. So
have you ever been attacked by any animals? Like, have you ever had trauma like I have?
No, I haven't. I haven't been attacked. I had a snake try and bite me once.
Oh, okay. That's why you've still got the phobia.
That's the only thing that I've come close to. But my cat did used to attack my dog when I had a cat.
Yeah.
He used to hide behind the door, and as Fuzzy walked past, he'd pounce on him.
Oh, no.
Fuzzy would squeal.
Oh, that would be terrible.
But, yeah, so I don't know. Stray cats, are they out to get us? Is there a conspiracy?
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
About cats out to get humans. You and a bride after yesterday's announcement.
Oh, I want to, yes, a bride. Because preferably no English, thank you.
If legislation's drafted and it's passed by the
Christmas.
You might be able to get married over
Christmas
the Christmas
wedding. Can you believe that?
Christmas wedding.
Imagine that. A Russian bride comes out of the cake and I'm like, I'm married. How awesome would it be? Would you be excited for me?
Of course I'd be excited for you.
Yeah, good.
Of course.
You wouldn't get jealous that I'm abandoning you and not giving you any more of my 24/7 time that I already do?
Not at all. I can't wait for it to happen. Well, and you also said before,
yes.
We said, well, what sort of bride are you after?
Mm.
And you wanted...
God, what am I going to wear, Warren?
I don't know, but you wanted one that didn't speak.
Mm.
You wanted one to be able to do all the...
Hopefully she's mute, yep.
To do all the cooking and cleaning. So
cooking, cleaning, yep.
Everything like that.
Yep. And she's not allowed to have a phone. We did get a message in on 0427JOY 949 by Angela saying, how are you going to text each other? Angela, she's not allowed a phone.
Well, I reckon I've got one for you.
Really?
Yep.
Talk us through her.
She's Egyptian.
Yeah. Oh.
She's 28 years old.
Yes.
She's a newlywed woman.
Yeah.
And she's seeking a divorce after only 2 weeks of marriage.
No way.
Because her husband does all of the household chores.
she's cracked it because he does the chores?
She's cracked it. So her husband, 31, also runs a clothing store where he employs several staff members.
Yeah.
And therefore is able to spend most of his time at home.
Oh, my God. She's perfect for me.
She claims that he spends all of the time cleaning and rearranging furniture and that she can no longer handle living with him.
Oh, that is comedy.
Yep. She said he's acting like a housewife and she's grown bored of him. Not only does he do all of the chores, but he refuses to allow her to help at all.
Oh, my God. My mother never got bored of my father. He still does the housework. Is your dad that kind of dude, or is he the one that sits back and pats his belly?
No, he sits back and
pats his... Oh, really? And mum does everything?
Yeah, he does his stuff. He does his fair share around the house sometimes after she leaves for a while.
That's just you being protective son now when you said that.
Does
nothing.
Do you,
Kev?
So we've got one for you from Egypt. So once the divorce goes through, Anastasia, we've found your Christmas bride to pop out of the cake.
I don't mind Egyptian at all. I do.
It for us.
Just practicing for Christmas.
For when she comes over.
Yeah, I do.
Pops out of your cake. There's going to be a lot of wedding proposals. How exciting. So legislation might be ready by Christmas.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's not get too overly excited, but
it's not too many amendments to it. We're either equal...
Or nothing.
Or not. That's it.
Exactly. I can't. You know what I'm really excited about? That we're together again
tomorrow,
first thing in the morning at 6:30.
From 6:30. Have a great Thursday, everyone.
Bye, darling.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.